On Saturday, December 3rd, I drove up to Isabella for the annual Christmas bird count. This was the 25th year that Steve Wilson has organized this event. He calls it a clean count, guaranteeing that not one pigeon, European starling, or house sparrow will be seen. There may not be huge numbers of birds compared to places on Lake Superior, especially in settled areas where ornamental plants, bird feeders, and garbage dumps support larger numbers, but this count often provides the most northern specialties of just about any count in the lower 48. For a brief and shining moment in 1987, the Isabella Christmas bird count held the all-time North American record for gray jays counted with 154, until the following year the record was topped by a count in Alberta. This year there was new snow on the ground and coating the trees like magical icing. The temperature hung right around freezing and there was no wind for most of the day, so the magical beauty remained. Fog hung in the air, softening the lighting. My little group scoured the woods and bird feeders along Highway 1 through Isabella. We found a lot of chickadees, blue jays, red-breasted nuthatches, pine grosbeaks, and goldfinches at the feeders across from the cafes in town. I had a small flock of redpolls fly over, and we had great looks at 2 3-toed woodpeckers hammering away in spruce trees at the campground. My group only saw 7 gray jays, and there weren't very many overall. That was the bird I wanted to see the most, but only had looks from too far away for decent photographs in the bad light. The total tally is posted at birderblog.com. After the compilation dinner at the Isabella Town Hall, I headed home. The fog was thickening and the wind building when I left. Then it started to rain. Driving was awful, so I never went faster than 30 on Highway 1 or Highway 2, which turned out to be very lucky when a moose sauntered out of the woods onto the highway right in front of my car. I couldn't swerve to the left because that was the direction the moose was headed, and couldn't swerve to the right because the shoulder of the road was too narrow, so could only slam on the brakes. Fortunately, I test them periodically when roads are slippery, and knew the car would stop fine on the 4 snow tires I use. And the car did stop, but just inches from the moose. He was huge. It would have been bad for both of us had we collided. He didn't lose stride as he moved in that oddly graceful yet galumphing way that moose have, and didn't turn his head to make eye contact. He just kept going and disappeared back into the woods. It's disconcerting to come that close to hitting any animal, and especially scary when it's as big as a moose. But I had to keep my wits about me because I was still a long way from home. It took many minutes for me to see that the point of the encounter wasn't my narrow escape from an accident. It was that moment of grace when I was the closest I've ever been in my life to a moose, looking into its intelligent profile and the steam coming out of its nostrils and its angular legs and vast body. The beauty of that vision lasted long after my heart stopped racing. Apparently, I was left more stirred than shaken. Seeing the moose was a gift, reminding me that even on a rainy, dark December road, the natural world is filled with loveliness, and that like all magical encounters with wildlife, it's usually best not to get too close, and always best when after a thrilling encounter, we and the animal can both continue on toward the rest of our lives. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.